This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Milky Way, Xeon Phi, and the future.
An interview with Intel's Raj Hazra.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for July 26th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined again by Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Addison. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. And, you know, catching up on a lot of Intel news from ISC and more recently, we're joined today by Raj Hazra, who's the VP of Data Center and Connected Systems Group and the General Manager of Technical Computing at Intel. Raj, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Hi there, Addison and Nicole. Good to hear you again.
And it was good to see you recently. You had an event recently at Intel that we'll be talking about as part of this interview. But we wanted to get started with some of the news going back to ISC.
So, Raj, congratulations on the new number one system, which is based on Xeon Phi. We're curious about the kinds of applications that they're looking to run on Phi at that kind of scale.
Yeah, it's hugely exciting. And thank you again for the nice words. Of course, it was a collaborative effort with the end user as well as our other technology and software partners. But we're very proud. You know, a number one machine of this size is always a cause for celebration because it is not just an interesting and an exciting next step, but it also opens the door to doing more. And that's really what HPC is all about. And you know, going back to the question of what is this going to enable, I think the possibilities are quite endless. But we hope to see a number of applications being tested at scale. You know, whether it's in life sciences, whether it's weather and climate, whether it's basic materials research, computer-aided design, we expect to see many of the traditional HPC applications that have been thirsting for more compute capacity really getting unleashed. We also expect from this scale of systems and running applications on them that learnings are going to be generated about how to improve algorithms for better scalability going forward. So everybody wins. With the existing application scaling up on this machine, we expect to have good economic output, you know, in the various fields that it's going to be used for. But we also think that learnings from trying to scale these applications and looking at performance is going to provide a tremendous amount of insight to the community for what the next generation of number one systems ought to look like. So all in all, you know, just an exciting time for the entire community around new capability on Xeon Phi, a new capacity of compute, and, you know, looking forward to what comes out of it.
Raj, at ISC, you also gave a presentation and announced some of the roadmap details for Xeon Phi. Between that and the attention you got around the Tianhe 2, the Milky Way 2, what kind of reaction are you starting to see in the market now to Phi?
Well, what we did at ISC was essentially complete general availability for a lineup of products that we're very proud of in the Xeon Phi family. And that is recognizing that there's different needs, whether it's pure performance, whether it's a performance power play or a performance value play, whether it's active or passive infrastructures, just being able to serve the totality of the needs of the marketplace with that common architecture and common architecture tools was hugely exciting. So we think, we have set the stage for ourselves and our partners and our end users to take full advantage of this family of products based on the many core Intel architecture. The reception has actually been pretty exciting for us. You know, what we've looked at is over the last year and a half, the value proposition from an end user's perspective, really saying, I need more compute, but I need it to be affordable and both from a financial sense, but also from a productivity perspective. I need something that I can see a path to continuing that investment in and leveraging it in the future. All of those things have driven a pretty healthy amount of excitement and anticipation for the Xeon Phi family. And with the announcement at ISE and our OEM partners now readily taking that to market, we think this is the exciting time when the door opens and the real magic starts happening. That said, the introduction of a new architecture, which radically pushes forward the state of parallelism, is not an easy or an overnight task. It will require applications to be optimized to take maximum advantage of what this architecture provides. And that won't happen overnight. It is started with the full capability of products out there. It will certainly accelerate, and we're seeing that. But the demand from end users, the possibility of what this can do for them, has continued unabated. In fact, there were recent studies, one of them from Intersect 360, that talked about just how much the whole notion of coprocessors or heterogeneous compute has taken hold in the HPC community, but also the tremendous growth of expectation around Xeon Phi as a leading element of implementing that direction. So, we are excited. Our customers and users are excited, and now it's time to go prove the value proposition and deliver the goods.
Well, that's certainly true, Raj, and I appreciate you mentioning it. Our research certainly has shown that users in HPC are increasingly adopting accelerated systems, and we know from calls with our HPC 500 user group that they see a positive future for programming with Intel Xeon Phi.
Raj, your company just hosted a Rearchitect the Data Center event in San Francisco. Both Addison and I were lucky enough to spend some time there talking to you and others. Can you give us an overview of what it was about, what some of the major themes were, and the general ecosystem plus an HPC?
Sure. And it was very good to see both of you there. What the event was essentially pulling together thoughts and work that we've had underway for a while in the company as we took a look at future data center trends. And it was an opportunity for us to both provide that in a coherent form as well as get feedback, and the feedback was very, very remarkably positive. In re-architecting the data center, if you will, the overall theme was, number one, the role of the data center and the back-end infrastructure is getting more and more, increasingly more important by the day as services are becoming an essential element of how the world does business, whether it's consumers or business to business. Number two is cloud as a delivery mechanism for those services is established, and as we see a tremendous path forward for the value proposition it delivers. And then third, if those first two things are true as opportunities, how should the data center of the future be architected to deal with some of the challenges that it's seeing today in terms of the infrastructure being strained, both from a usability standpoint as well as a maintainability and sustainability standpoint? So how do we take server, networking, and storage and take them from their old paradigms of being rather inflexible, manually configured, and dealing with a far limited set of use cases, if you will, to a much more flexible infrastructure that's really software defined at the heart of it, at the data center level, and thereby providing the benefits of flexibility, being able to target different kinds of workflows and workloads, and be able to provide that functionality, drive costs down, and do so in a manner that kind of meets the technical and business needs of this future of explosion of services delivered through the cloud. That really essentially was what we talked about.
You know, Raj, it's an interesting point because Intel has often maintained at a strategic level, we're just a silicon component provider, and you're dependent on your partners, your OEM partners, to take solutions to market. But as Intel has invested in more of the value chain around this data center play with server technology, optimizing server technologies, your investment in networks, your investment in storage optimization, is this going to start to change the nature of some of your OEM relationships in the future and the strategic value that Intel is bringing?
It's a good question. I think our industry is one where if you want to survive, and not just survive, Edison, but have a good time doing so, then you have to be constantly changing as well. And we know this, our OEM partners know this, more importantly, our end users expect it. What we do through the power of integration and co-design of elements of our hardware and software is essentially drive more end user value. Whether it's power performance, whether it's cost, whether it's flexibility, that's really what integration. What we also do, and we as a company have changed over time, is to ensure that the value chain remains viable, that our OEM partners and our other technology partners have a path to acquiring value and garnering value out of this ecosystem with the investments they might make in areas they innovate. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, exactly the same partitioning of where the value systems began and ended stay unchanged over time. In fact, they don't. Where we invest in for innovation to bring end user value changes over time through integration. Similarly, our OEM partners, therefore, also change where they add value, whether it's in software, whether it's in other places. But we do that in a collaborative manner. One of the big things that came out at the event on rearchitecting the data center was exactly recognizing this need to have a viable ecosystem approach, how we as a silicon provider have changed both our design methodology as well as, if you would say, our business model to ensure that we can actually differentiate or provide capabilities for others, our customers, including our OEM partners, to differentiate themselves on top of our products. That could be at a silicon level, that could be at a firmware level, and that could certainly continue to be in software that works with our silicon components. So in many ways, you know, the drive towards providing more end-user value is a shared responsibility between us and our OEM partners, and we continue to work to continue to adapt and change both our technologies, our investments, and our business models in order for all of us to have a viable value chain moving forward.
So, Raj, you know, during the event, you and I sat down and talked a little bit about the server industry as a whole. And I know that topics like open compute and some of these low-power, ultra-dense architectures came up as sort of the wave of the future. And you and I talked a little bit about whether or not this is the death or the rebirth of the server industry. I think this might be something important to touch on at the end here.
Yeah, pretty interesting topic. But, you know, from my perspective and Intel's perspective for sure, we'd say workloads are constantly diversifying as new people find new applications. Our job is to continuously serve diversifying set of workloads, if you will, with the right targeted architectures, whether they are low power to high density to, you know, high performance, as we see in traditional HPC. And we continue to do that, including some of the announcements we made at the low power and on Monday in the event. So is that a rebirth or death? I don't know. For us, it's just a continuing, exciting continuing journey forward.
We've been speaking with Raj Hazra, General Manager of Technical Computing at Intel Corporation. Raj, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, and have a good day.
This was a really good interview, Nicole, and I think that'll wrap us up for this week, but I'll look forward to talking to you with more news next week.
Absolutely. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.